This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, August 20th, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poetry on the couch. On the Poetry Foundation website this week, there's a new feature article about the National Association for Poetry Therapy, a group of therapists who use poetry as a healing technique. Who knew, right? This week on the podcast, I'm going to speak with Rosemary Hare. She's a therapist in Seattle. And Rosemary, you were as surprised as I was that there actually exists a National Association for Poetry Therapy, right?
I was.
But at the same time, you, as a therapist, sometimes get patients who come in with a poem that they've written or a poem written by somebody else, right?
I do, quite a bit.
Now, why would they bring in a poem or even write a poem when they can just talk to you?
Because a lot of people can't just talk to me. A lot of people I see have fairly significant trauma in their childhoods or backgrounds, which I think oftentimes leaves parts of that in a speechless space. There wasn't a person for them to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in them beginning to talk to me, they run into difficulty or get frightened. And it's sort of a bridge, which I encourage any way they want to communicate, I have them just bring that in.
Mm-hmm.
And that oftentimes feels safer and actually even feels more connecting because it's such a real expression of what they're trying to tell me.
I thought we'd try a little experiment today. I have a couple of poems that seem to be capturing my mood these days, and I thought we'd listen to them and talk a bit about them afterwards.
Sure.
The first one is The Snowman by Wallace Stevens. And I love this poem as an adolescent. And even though it's mid-August right now and super hot, it still sends a chill down my spine. The reader is Michael Stuhlbarg.
The Snowman by Wallace Stevens. One must have a mind of winter to regard the frost and the boughs of the pine trees crusted with snow, and have been cold a long time to behold the junipers shagged with ice, the spruces rough in the distant glitter of the January sun, and not to think of any misery in the sound of the wind, in the sound of a few leaves, which is the sound of the land full of the same wind that is blowing in the same bare place, for the listener who listens in the snow and nothing himself beholds nothing that is not there and the nothing that is.
Now, I actually don't even understand the very end of that poem. Whoops, so sorry. Totally inappropriate.
Now we can do music therapy.
Yeah, now we can. I actually don't even understand the end of that poem. I never have understood it.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's the mood that it captures.
Uh-huh.
If I brought that to you into a therapy session, what would you do with that?
Often, if I can, I have people read the poems to me. If they can't, I read them myself. And that's probably what's so important, is there's some experience with them that I have.
Experience of reading the poem together?
The experience, no. Well, there's that experience for sure, but the experience of the expression of the way it feels to them. Say for that poem, for instance, you even had a physical response to it. So that's a very meaningful poem to you, which means that it resonates with something that you understand somewhere, even if you couldn't put it into words.
Yeah, so, it actually quite literally sends a chill down my spine when I hear that poem or when I read that poem. And
I can see why.
Now, this poem, you could say, is depressing.
To me, poem wasn't depressing as much as it was, you know, kind of an expression of someone being very present and conscious of the way that they were feeling. But it also, in that poem, there's something that felt very hopeful to me about the person being able to still be present to that and feel it and see something else as a result of feeling that bareness.
Yeah, and to articulate, I guess that's the achievement, is to be able to articulate a mood. And by articulating a mood, you don't become completely ruled by that mood.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Now, just because I like poems that happen to be a little depressing doesn't mean necessarily that I'm a depressed person, right?
Right.
Actually, I am a slightly depressive person, but let's go on to another poem. Here's something I recently read. For some reason, this struck me because of all the my depression over all of the problems in the world these days. Mm-hmm. This poem seemed to speak exactly to that. It's by Linda Pastan, and it's called A Rainy Country, and the reader is Dana Ivy.
The headlines and feature stories alike leak blood all over the breakfast table. The wounding of the world mingling with smells of bacon and bread. Small panes are merely anterooms for larger, and every shadow has a brother just waiting. Even grace is sullied by ancient angers. I must remember it has always been like this. Those Trojan women learning their fates, the simple sharpness of the guillotine. A filigree of cruelty adorns every culture. I've thumbed through the pages of my life, longing for childhood whose failures were merely personal, for all the stations of love I passed through. Shadows and the shadow of shadows. I am like the queen of a rainy country, powerless, and grown old. Another morning with its quaint obligations. Newspaper, bacon grease, rattle of dishes, and bones.
Wow.
There's a line in this poem we just heard, A Rainy Country by Linda Pastan.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I'm going to read it for you again. It says, a filigree of cruelty.
A filigree of cruelty adorns every culture. I've thumbed through the pages of my life, longing for childhood whose failures were merely personal, for all the stations of love I passed through.
Now, I actually have read those lines many times, and I still don't quite get what she's saying there. Do you?
Yeah. The stations of love passing by, you know, you get the feeling of somebody in their childhood that was alone a lot, not loved, certain amount of cruelty. So I would have to know more about that. But in terms of being able to experience the suffering in that, you could feel it.
Yeah, you could feel it. I mean, for me, the poem's about we live in a world that's full of, it's basically a blood-drenched world. It's terribly violent, and especially these days. And how do you respond to that? That's the question, and not despair. And she doesn't have a solution for that in the poem. She ends the poem by saying, I am
like the queen of a rainy country, powerless and grown old. Another morning with its quaint obligations, newspaper, bacon grease, rattle of dishes, and bones.
She's raising the problem of being alive and aware in a world that's full of violence and suffering, but she's not offering a solution there. But nonetheless, I find this poem comforting somehow.
I think it is comforting because I think everything she said in the poem is true, and I think being able to express in such a beautiful way what the real suffering in the world is, I'm that way too. I feel it deeply. You know, if you look at people like the Dalai Lama who have suffered terribly, who's very clear about the suffering in the world, and who somehow have found a way to be present to that in a way that opens the heart to a kind of love and joy. And that's the connection, and that's the intimacy in poetry. I think the intimacy in therapy that can be profoundly healing.
Well, listen, I feel better after talking to you. I don't know about you, but I do.
I feel better after talking to you, too.
Okay.
Those poems were very beautiful and meaningful.
Rosemary Hare is a therapist in Seattle, Washington. Check out the article online called Mary Oliver Saved My Life. It's about therapists who take poetry therapy quite seriously in their practice. Go to poetryfoundation.org, where you'll find lots of other feature articles, poetry news, and a whole lot more. What do you think of this program? Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org or write a review of the program on iTunes or the podcast directory of your choice. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.